Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right, Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
Royfield, Lucy and all the Dumpty Dummers. Red Agnes here. This is what happens when you get temporary control over 17 excitable grown-ups, most of whom have never heard of the Archers, and you try to get them to perform a Dumpty Dum. You'll hear gazoos, vuvuzelas and maybe some drums.
This is the Blocco Mente Samba Band 7th birthday Dumpty Dum. Mrs. Vuvuzela.
I do apologise.
Wowza.
That is my favourite Dumpty Dum of all time. Especially the end, please gather your instruments. That's genius. That's amazing.
All level of multicultural genius. Because it actually sounded quite Indian to me with the percussion first off, and then it's kind of salsa, it's all sorts. Yeah. It sounded to me almost like our Red Agnes had gone off to Cape Town or somewhere or another. There was a hint of South Africa in it as well. I don't know. It was bonkers. It was wonderful. It was amazing. Red Agnes, we salute you. Folks, this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that are centred on Amridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the marrow growing on a slightly alkaline soil that is Royfield Brown. And with me, I have the hydroponic fishery in a temperate climate that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Linda and Bert's Dad's Army plot, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum is from Red Agnes and her samba band. And if it's samba, that's Brazil.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's so, a samba band. That's what she said at the start.
No, she did. But there's me rattling on about it sounded like Indian and there's a touch of... is the vuvuzela at the start. It's the reason why I thought South Africa as well. Very apt for Dumpty Dum, that. All four points of the globe were represented in that wonderful, cacophonous, riotous rendition of Barwick Green. So thank you, Red Agnes. And now, Lucy, somebody else wants to marshal their samba band together to knock up a ditty. How can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, to Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge as ever for her voices, and to Derek for the loan of the back bedroom. Derek was very sad, as we all were, to hear of the death of BBC stalwart Nicholas Parsons. He's always been a hero of Derek's, as Derek's never been able to go for a minute without deviation.
It was very sad about our Nicholas, wasn't it?
It was. But I did hear the best story about that. Not about him dying. Obviously, that would not be good. But it was it was everywhere, actually. So forgive me, everybody, if you've already heard this. But it did make me laugh out loud. They were in a very noisy bar at the Edinburgh Festival. And Nicholas Parsons was there. And it was quite difficult to hear. And they were talking about comedy generally, and somebody was telling a story about Richard Pryor. And this was at the time when Richard Pryor was doing crack and setting himself on fire and all manner of things. And Nicholas Parsons was listening sort of open-mouthed. And then the person telling the story moved off to go and get another drink, and poor Nicholas turned to the chap next to him and said, "My God, have you heard about Richard Pryor's? He's gone completely mad." The idea of Richard Pryor's taking crack and setting himself on fire was absolutely hilarious. Oh dear.
Well done. On this week's episode, we hear views from Merlin, Tony, Margot, Paul, John, Susan, Jacqueline, Glyn, and Iris. But first, folks, before all that stuff, it's the only reason why you're here. It's our Juicy Loose and a week in Ambridge.
This week in Ambridge was brought to you by the Department of Unpleasant Sound Effects. Squelchy roast dinner eating so bad that at one stage Gavin was eating roast potato and it sounded as if he was pulling his welly out of a bog. Grunting in the gym, Kate washing Alice's feet, and Jolene coughing up solids from her bed of pain. Have we done something to upset you, scriptwriters? Are you just getting us warmed up for next week when the whole village comes down with an isolated outbreak of coronavirus in an attempt to lower the cast list bills? We began the week with Josh whinging. Everyone's better than me, but even Ben's always helping around the farm. Silently, the weirdo. My business will go under as I haven't got any contacts anymore, he said. Nonsense, of course you have, you idiot. They're all stored in the cloud. Just get a new phone and away you go, you daft sod. And then keep going away and away and away until we cannot hear or see you anymore. Apart from that, I wouldn't mind Rex seeing Josh again, as he got quite splendidly cross and for the first time in living memory told two archers that he would not be forgiving their disgraceful behaviour on the grounds that they are archers. It came as a huge shock to Pip that Rex was genuinely upset at being involved in a fraud and robbery case. But we're from Brookfield. We've got barns and a gran and everything. Tough tit, Pip. You haven't impressed Rex, a man who spends every Sunday morning cleaning vomit off the back seat of a Ford Mondeo. And hoorah for him. Over at Krusty's house, the atmosphere was not great. Gav the interloper was behaving like a stroppy adolescent, staying in his room and then monopolising the TV. He kept shouting, "They're coming!" from the sitting room, and then told Kirsty Flip that he was playing a game. Yeah, right. Call of Booty, Pokemon, Mineshaft or Grand Theft Oral. Johnny and Lee's relationship continues apace. They've introduced Freddie into the menage now, but as they all went to the gym together and Freddie got the lever of the stepper caught in his vest, they felt he'd let the side down. So Johnny and Lee went somewhere private and Johnny showed him his teat sealant. They're going to have to go public soon. And if you think I'm going to shout, "Isn't teat sealant brilliant?" then you've got another think coming. Helen had a day out with Lee's daughters, who showed themselves as excellent judges of character by loathing her on sight. Helen was gutted, as she'd made a packed lunch of cheese sandwiches and bought them both a book called The Children's Guide to Cheese and Why I'm Right About Everything by Helen Archer. With any luck, Daddy's been teaching them a martial art trick or two, and the second they're left on their own with her, they'll have her in a headlock with her face down in the whey bucket. The Archer's omnibus was then interrupted by a short episode of Dad's Army featuring Linda, Captain Mannering Snell, and Bert, "Don't panic!" Fry. The Rebel Alliance decided to hijack the highly unlikely cocktail event at the Bull. It's amazing, isn't it, how a group of total strangers that no one seems to know, from an organisation no one's heard of, can have been tracked down and invited to an event by the landlords of a pub bloody miles away with no advertising at all. I thought there were going to be a load of psychics, as I really couldn't see how anyone else would ever have known the Bat Ambridge was even there. But no, a load of rhubarb sound effects turned up, and Bert, Linda and Jazza attempted to bore them to death. Now, why on earth include Jazza when he is the only person in the village with whom I would willingly spend an evening in the pub, with the exception of Alistair, on whom I am rapidly developing a crush of monstrous proportions, on and off the Archers, to the extent that I spent an inordinate amount of time last week talking to the actor about his bloody cat. But anyway, I digress. Linda and Lillian had one of their brisk rows in which they both say everything in a staccato way through clenched teeth, and Lillian ended up saying, "Nobody wants to throw the baby out with the bathwater," and I instantly thought what a better name that would have been, the baby in bathwater. Anyway, they all turned out to be allotmenteers, so had a lovely time listening to Bert boring on about leeks, and the consequences were hilarious. Talking of the Bat Ambridge name change, Susan is a scab for refusing to sign the petition against the Bat Ambridge name change until Neil, the people's champion, changed her mind for her. That and the prospect of a bucket load of chili in the offing. He promised to wear his scuba outfit and let her have a blow on his snorkel, so she did a quick vault of fast and signed. Poor old Neil was not having a good day. He'd left work early because Hannah was getting on his nerves. Neil: I used to work in an office where the managing director and his PA used to call each other mum and dad. You can't leave work early because people get on your nerves. If everyone did it, the economy would collapse. Over at the Bull, Jill and Neil sat in the entirely empty pub and reminisced about Phil. "He could see you had it in you, Neil, and that was why you were walking funny," said Jill. "Arr," said Neil. Upstairs, Jolene had come down with something. She was under the duvet with a fisherman's friend and she'd got Vic all over her chest. Kenton got her to promise she wasn't cross with him for backing over a peacock, and she needed reassurance from him that they weren't about to go completely bankrupt after taking the advice of a consultant who'd spent 20 minutes considering their business. Just normal couple stuff, really. Over at the stables, Kate announced that she was moving in with the luckless Yakult temporarily. She seemed very concerned about his emissions. I don't know why, just get him to change the sheets more often. And complained to him while he was fixing Bouncer's leg. Bouncer is a stupid name for a horse. It's a stupid name for anything except the Labrador off neighbours or a trampoline. And talking about things you bounce about on with nary a care in the world, Kate appears to be in pig again. For someone who cares about the environment, you'd think she'd care about overpopulation, maybe invest in some contraception. Or maybe it was a vegan condom made of hemp with lots of holes in it so that the sperm could, like, breathe, as otherwise it's just, like, exploitation. Anyway, I don't believe she's up the clanger. I cannot imagine she's got a clear grip on when her last period was, or where or who her last child is, to be frank. And Yakult, in my view, is going to be out of there faster than Philip Schofield out the broom cupboard. Apparently, all you need to do to solve a huge family rift is to take the person for a walk alongside a polluted river, give him some stats about flood water levels, and bingo, everything's marvellous, and all of a sudden people are taking bets on you shagging him. Now Jeremy Kyle's gone, Krusty is apparently the new fix a family problem in 20 minutes expert. There were, however, some alarm-raising chats with Philip about having been in previously dire financial straits, which is annoying as it probably means I owe Royfield a tenner. And this week's most irritating discussion. I've saved the best to last. Helen was urging Lee to push the boat out for Valentine's Day. Even Helen's time in prison has not taught her how real people live. Lee is skint. He makes a living kicking people in the nuts and has to keep his daughters in white trainers and lactose intolerant medication. She suddenly had a spasm of understanding, but the furthest she got was, "Oh, we'll eat at yours then, Lee. It'll be fine. I'm happy with anything. Lobster, pate, foie gras, just any old stuff you've got in the cupboard. Helen, you know you claim to be a feminist, that your mum was at Greenham Common and she hasn't shaved under her arms since Tracy Horribin was a virgin. There's this thing, and I know stuff takes a while to get to Ambridge, but now apparently restaurants take women's credit cards too. I mean, you can't use a pin like a man. You have to draw a picture of a flower before they'll accept it. But apparently it's allowed and men don't mind that much. I'm going to try it. See you in the 21st century, Helen, and do watch your crinoline in that yoghurt machine. The end."
Oh, well done. You know what, Lucy? I'm so glad you put some jokes in it this week, because I'm so much better than last week. Oh, well done. It's a triumph. Stand up and take a bow.
I can't. My headphones will fall off. But thank you for the thought.
Well, I hope when we see you in full Technicolor on the YouTubes, yes, you'll stand up at the end and take a bow.
You know, You know, Hello You Two and Hello You Two and Right You Are and all that. Mm. I've noticed another Ambridge-y thing.
What's that?
That I haven't noticed before. When anyone knocks on the door or rings the doorbell, for any reason at whatever time, someone always says, oh, who's this at this time? Linda knocked on Neil and Susan's door at like 6 o'clock in the evening, and Susan went, oh, who's this at this time? As if, you know, it was 10 to 1 in the morning or something. But it's everybody, no one just answers the door. They will go, who's this? You know, if the door rings in my house, I just go and open it to find out who it was. You
but
know,
you know bizarre. What, though, Luce? Right. Mobile telephony has come and wreaked havoc with our social norms. Things that, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago were just the norm. I was reading an article in The Guardian about the fact that we don't talk to each other anymore. You know, we've all seen this article before. But what really stood out for me was the fact that the writer said, if your phone rings after 7:30, you think, who's dead? Now, back in the day, that was like a 9:30 call and after.
Because you couldn't ring before 6 because that was peak time in capital letters. You weren't allowed to use the telephone. And if you did, your dad stood behind you tapping his watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I got my first proper girlfriend, Debbie Moore, she was lovely, Luce. Right. My dad put a lock on the phone. Right. I became so expert at tapping out Morse code style the number. Right. So I didn't have to use the big rotary dial. So you go. So her number was like.
Oh, so you couldn't twiddle it. So you had
you couldn't twiddle it. Yeah, there's a big lock on it. She had to go 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I was so expert. Took my dad a month when the phone bill came to realise I was still talking to Debbie Moore on the phone.
But I put a lock on it. What magic is he using?
Oh, the good old days. The good old days. Anyway, you and
kids
I.
Kids these days, they'd never have that experience, would they?
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Now, you and I are expert at diversionary chats. Right.
We haven't got time at all. 1,000 callers.
We haven't got
1,000. Literally 1,000. Parts of that might be a lie.
Yeah, Luce, that's technically fake news. We haven't got 1,000 calls. But we do have about 10. So 70, I'm going to do this.
70,000. Okay.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First off, our Lucy, we've got Rosie. And Rosie, I completely forgot a couple of weeks ago. I didn't upload your call because I forgot, because I'm rubbish. So I apologise. But here's our Rosie.
Hi there, it's Rosie Porty calling in from a very blustery, windy and quite scary seaside town, Portobello, today. One key thing I wanted to talk about this evening was the Kate and Yakov pregnancy. Exciting area. I really have to question the basic facts in this case. I can't see Yakov trusting Kate to use any kind of natural birth control.
Couldn't agree more, Rosie.
Fingers crossed. Yep. I know we have to suspend a certain amount of disbelief RE subjects like HR, which I mentioned last time. How can we be expected to believe that Yakov, who has been characterised as being neat, tidy, and a bit controlling, would let his swimmers go free? Bonkers. And really, how responsible and uncaring towards Kate's existing brood of children, Phoebe, Nolatandu, and Sipo, all three of whom she has less interest in than she does Hilda's kittens. I'm really hoping that this is a false alarm, as it's a pretty dull storyline, along the lines of multiple unplanned pregnancies in soap operas. Why can't the Archers have some storylines of women who have a successful life without reproducing randomly? It is possible to have an active, productive and happy life without children. And it's annoying that the Archers writers don't have any experience of women like that. They need to broaden their reach. Anyway, rant over. I love the podcast. I confirm I've subscribed to the YouTube channel. And Roy Field, you really do need to get an Instagram channel up and running soon. Have a great week. Bye.
I'll go first, Lucy, and then I'll back this back to you. Number one, Instagram channel. I believe one of Lucy's scions are basically sorting that out. At least that was the talk, wasn't it, Lucy? Yes, it was. Right, that's that.
What?
You said your daughter was going to...
Oh, yes!
Exactly.
Oh, God, I've forgotten that. Right, well, okay, I'll add that to my list.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I've written menopause, now I'll write. I love my dumpty-dum lists, they're hilarious. Menopause,
As for
Instagram.
The Archers having characters, female characters that can have successful lives without children, that kind of is Linda, though she did want them. But she's not exactly a broken woman because of it. So... it's like, there's a bit of a grey area there, but there is Linda. There was another point. Oh, yes. Now, I'm just going to quickly say this. And I'll hand over to you, Freeman, because you is much more intelligent and eloquent and thoughtful about these things. As somebody said before, I'm just gentle with my comments. Now, there is absolutely no way that Jacob would be doing Kate. Without
doing her,
doing Kate,
doing is that what we do? We do women, do we?
No, listen, right. I'm just cutting to the chase here.
Okay.
Right? The one thing I slightly disagree with what Rosie said was that Jacob is controlling. I don't think he's controlling, but it's all about control with him and order.
Yeah.
It's not that he's imposing it on other people and what I'm telling them what they need to do.
Yeah.
But he just likes
order. I mean, he's quite
happy
for Kate to eat her vegan cheese.
Exactly.
He's not stopping her. He's just saying, well, I'm having a steak. I don't know what you're doing. But,
Absolutely. Yeah. But there is absolutely nobody who's as buttoned up as that would be having unprotected sex.
And there's no way that they would believe that Kate was taking the pill or had an implant or something, because they know she wouldn't, and she's more likely to take some homeopathic essence of water lily, which is going to, you know.
Well, you know what? That is true and as maybe, but Jacob would take his own precautions.
Yeah, he would.
Regardless of who the woman actually is. He's going to be worried about STDs as well as pregnancy. He's not a risk taker. This dude is not a risk taker. I know he's with Kate and he can say that's a risk. But, you know, there is no way. So, anyway, now it's your turn. I'm just going to withdraw from this segment of the conversation. Sorry. Go
no, because I completely agree. I'm hoping very much that it's early menopause, which is going to get right up Kate's nose, as she likes to think of herself as the Earth Mother, and she's now got to move to the crone role in the tribe, which she will not like until she reads about how cool crones are, and then she will. But anyway, I think it's absolutely nuts. I think it's a really annoying, if it is that storyline, let's really hope it isn't, because it's so blooming lazy. It's not the only thing women can do is just have, you know, the only way that their situation can change is that they have children. I totally agree about him. It's not anything that Yakult would do. I mean, Yakult's the type of man who would wear three condoms at once, and I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah,
the idea that he wouldn't even wear one is, it's just not.
Mm.
I think she's got it wrong, but for her to even imagine that she was pregnant, he must have not been using anything, otherwise she'd know. Do you know what I mean? So it's.
Well,
I'm hoping it's a menopause storyline, but if it is, my God, how low have we sunk that I'm actually crossing my fingers? It's a menopause storyline. Mm.
Do you know how Boris Becker became a father?
Yeah, in the cupboard.
And it was a blowjob.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Yes, it was a blowjob. That's the reason why he said, I cannot be the father. Because after he came... she didn't swallow it. He then leaves and she put it down below.
Why?
Because she wanted to become pregnant. Because it was Boris Becker. But that's the reason why he just said, no, it can't be me. It can't be me. That was the whole thing.
I was going, why, as to who on earth would want to blow Boris Becker? But anyway.
So, you know, it occurred to me this morning, right? Because I was like, there's no way. This is not making the show, by the way. This is just between me and you.
Why? Right. Hello? You sound like Neil.
Well, I don't know. I'm not comfortable putting this in. But it did occur to me this morning that surely this dude...
Are you pregnant? Is that what you're saying?
Stop it.
Have you been sucked off in a cupboard and now you're pregnant?
He would use three condoms and be the thickest condom. However,
it'd be like Hessian sacks, fertilizer bags. That's what he'd be using.
Exactly. Right. And it occurred to me this morning, was he Beckard? Was he Boris Beckard?
No, do you think?
Well,
because now the bloody hell are they going to explain that on a program that goes on 2 minutes past seven, you pillock.
Anyway, all that stuff that I've cut out about the last 3 minutes. So
I like that bit. We leave it in. Go. Look, I've already made an anal sex joke, a Philip Schofield joke, and another one. And I can't remember what that was. That was a bit dodgy as well. So you're fine. Leave it in, I say.
Well, I don't know. I'll review it when I come to edit it. Anyway. Right, so was there anything else that Rosie said? I can't remember now. It feels like an age ago.
I was too busy getting cross about the silly storyline.
I don't think this storyline per se is silly, because women that knowingly... go into motherhood with a partner who's not aware, and it's at the start of a relationship, and they don't know how that guy's going to react.
Yeah,
it happens every day. You know, it happens much more often than we care to admit. So I think that's actually quite a good storyline myself. But anyway, moving swiftly on, let's have another call.
Hello, Lucy, Royfield, Dumpty Dummers, and for one apparent reason, German-speaking Dumpty Dum community around the globe. Joseph, you are not among these. You're an imposter, and you know it. I'm Iris from Germany. I mean, I really am German, and I'm demonstrating this so you can tell that Joseph isn't. I'm in education, I'm a music therapist, a musician, and an author. Regarding my Arches origin, I'm a Nolotando, that is, the teenage Nolotando who came to live with her yogi mother in Ambridge and got drawn into drugs by posh Freddy. Since then, the Arches are a part of my life, and I appreciate every little bit of nonsense every day. What I love even more is Lucy sophisticatedly analyzing the week in Ambridge. Thanks for making the Arches even more real by gossiping about gossip. Great work. I've been meaning to call in 100 times since joining in, but I always got thrown out by SpeakPipe. Maybe I'm too German, so I'm not trusted to be paying properly. Or I'm too paranoid not having PayPal or even a credit card. But after Joseph's call, I'm going to get through and won't take no for an answer. Joseph made sure he'd get caught out by signing off saying, Guten Tag, guten Abend, ja, ja. I'm not able to tell if Philip, Gavin or Nokasha are really Welsh, but I can tell that Joseph is neither Austrian nor German. I predict that Joseph is really Merlin, a.k.a. Alistair the Vet. As he admitted after his airport call, he likes his gin tonic. I'm sure after several of those, he turned into Joseph. Und damit wünsche ich euch alles Gute, guten Abend und gute Nacht.
Tschüss! The idea that you think that my roundup of the week is sophisticated, Iris, after this week's, is astonishing. But anyway, thank you very much. I think she might be right. Merlin, is it you? You've already got two identities. Have you now developed another one?
We do have Merlin next.
on the caller inners, I can conclusively say it ain't Merlin, because and we kind of do know who it is, at least we think we do. But people that call up on the telephone line, as our Joseph did last week, when they do that, Luce, on the telephone line, you actually leave a telephone number. And it was a UK number. It wasn't one from abroad, from Ostmark or whatever, Österreich. It wasn't from Austria. So we kind of know. But it was a lovely call. But it's lovely. I loved Iris's voice. That was lovely.
Yes.
You can speak German, can't you?
And I like the fact that we've now developed there's some sort of internecine rivalry going on between a German and a fake German on the podcast.
Very true. Now, to be fair, Josef said he was Austrian, but still, Germanic speakers.
Yes. Yes.
You can speak German, can't you, Lucy?
Yeah, only a little bit.
You can speak German, French, Italian, Spanish?
I can understand Spanish. I can understand bits Portuguese. Of Italian. I can understand French, and I can understand. And I can speak a bit of French, and I can speak a bit of German.
Gosh, you're so clever.
And a bit
clever.
Of Swiss German.
You're so clever. Well done, you.
Yeah.
Du bist sehr clever. All right. She accused the next caller of being the fake imposter, and let's hear from him now.
Hello, everyone in Dumpty Dumland. This is Merlin. I'm hoping this will get through. I've got to get my timings better. The weekend slipped away from me. Don't know if I'm in time for this recording. Anyway, every so often in the Archers, there's something that just makes me smile. It's what makes me keep on listening. And this week was Bert and Linda planning their sabotage on the bee. I loved that. Just 2 minute little sketch. I'm not sure if they thought they were from Mission Impossible or from Dad's Army. It was just so amusing to listen to. Had me smiling as I was walking the dog. Although a pet peeve, they did say over and out. You do not do that when you use radios. It's either over or it's out, but not over and out. Very annoying. It's like putting a comma and a full stop at the end of a sentence. There was that, and of course, the great revelation of the week was Kate. Not quite sure how Yakult is going to feel about that one. We have to wait and see. They played it so straight, it could go either way. But that was certainly, I never saw that coming anyway. Complete surprise to me. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you for that, Merlin. Yes. Any thoughts, Arloose?
I think that you are correct that he is not the pretend Austrian. I did like it was absolutely ridiculous, the Linda and Bert thing, but I did like Bert being quite so overexcited about it all, about how, 'cause he loves a bit of intrigue. Bert, he just loves it, and he loved being able to go in there and sort of feel important that he had a role, you know. And yeah, it was quite sweet. But I do think sending Jazzer in was a massive mistake, because he such an entertainer as an individual. He would really struggle to be boring. He wouldn't be able to help himself be interesting.
I just want the whole storyline over.
I know.
As much as I love to hear Bert, and I, as sure as eggs is eggs, I thought he was going to go into the bull and deliver about five of his poems, you know, to kill everybody. He didn't do that, but I was just like, isn't this just ridiculous? The whole thing is just ridiculous. Yeah. You know, we telegraphed that it was going to be Linda with a petition, you know. What we want from this is to be surprised. And whether you think it's a good storyline or not, Kate saying that she's pregnant or believing that she's pregnant, how it's going to play out, was a total surprise.
Yeah.
Yes, you can then go back and you can see the signs that Jakob has been
good and kind of slightly gooey around babies and stuff. And you had a great way with Xander. So you've seen the little breadcrumbs that have been dropped. But fundamentally, they were so small, we had no idea that Kate was going to do what she's done. That's a surprise. This, we've worked out half of, if not all of, what's going to happen. It's not going to they're not going to change the name permanently. Linda has done the petition. Everybody just thinks it's nonsense, whether it's the listeners or the residents of Ambridge. Let's just get rid of it then. There's no need for it. Let's move on. Let's move on. Talking about moving on.
But it has become now. It's just a battle to the goodness. Death. It's just a...
Is it, Lucy?
Shut your face. It's now just a battle to the death between Linda and Lillian, isn't it? It's not even about the pub anymore. It's just about who can make more of the village do what they want, because they are Map and Lucia. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what it's about. And if it wasn't about the Bat Ambridge, it would be about something else. It would be about let's put old-fashioned lampposts on the green. No, let's not. It could be anything. It's just those two. And Linda hasn't got a cause at the moment, so she's you know, inventing one.
Well,
I mean, quite frankly, the bull could call itself, you know, the pot of custard at Ambridge, and everyone will continue to call it the bull, as they are doing, and they keep thinking, oh, no, the bee. You know, you just change the sign. No one cares. It's just a name. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't. It really, really. It will continue to be the bull to all intents and purposes anyway. So the whole thing is just, you know, nonsense.
The name does and doesn't matter. But before I come on to the name, there was a few years ago when what's their grandchild that they have in common called? Mungo.
Maggot or something?
Mungo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Haggis,
when Mungo was born. They kind of set them up to be at loggerheads with each other in a competitive way. So there's been two or three instances in the last, what, 3-4 years where they've been competitive. But it's been a personal thing. Wasn't it? There was a time when Lillian was supposed to have baked something or made something and she couldn't cook or whatever.
It was the cardigan and she...
The knitting. Yeah. So there's been a couple of instances like that. But that was... personal. If this is ultimately just about them pair, why is the whole village being dragged into it? Why is the bull being dragged into it? It makes no sense. The scale of it makes no sense to me. Have it as them bickering. Linda has walked the llamas. Lillian's dog has barked at the llama and the llama has done something and they bicker and it goes on for a couple of weeks. Yeah, great. Smashing fine. And then it all gets resolved because Mungo comes back with Ma and Pa and they coo over the baby. Great.
Yeah.
We don't need to drag in the whole of the village if this is about them. So I say I don't think it is really about them. But there best be a surprising turn in this storyline because I just hate every moment of it. And I don't normally say I hate anything, but I hate this. It's just utterly nonsense. And as for the name not meaning anything, the name change. When I used to live in London, there was a pub on Portobello Road, which everybody who had lived in that area for more than 10 years called Finch's. But the sign said the Duke of Wellington.
Right.
So it's exactly that thing that you're saying. People call it what they want to call it.
Yeah.
However, in the modern world of online, where there are Yelp reviews and all that malarkey, a name change does then matter because you can't find Finch's online. You have to type in the Duke of Wellington. So if you are trying to attract a younger crowd, and again, I then take your point that where all these young thrusting millennials all coming from? They wouldn't just drive out to the middle of nowhere and go to a little country pub for a cocktail do.
Means that you know, at least four, if there's 12 of you, four people can't drink because they've got to drive home again.
That's a very good point. Unless Rex is getting busy in the Uber taxi business. But so It does and it doesn't matter. It depends on the positioning of the pub. And I would say a rural pub who isn't necessarily going for the weekend crowd of people travelling to the countryside to have a nice pub lunch. We've never heard them say that that's what the bull's about. It's always about locals, really.
Yeah.
Well, then it doesn't matter that you're going to change the name. However, if you're not going for that crowd, well, then changing the name does matter because it's all about online and online reputations. Right, Merlin, that was you. Now we have an occasional caller in at our Lucy. And it's got the same name as who I went to school with, the Tricky Winger, who played for Greenholme Comprehensive School circa 1980. It's Tony
Is it
Cox.
Margo?
No, it's Tony Cox, and his mum was the dinner lady.
Hello there. It's Tony, who's an occasional caller in. I'm just enjoying this steady Archers thing, just going along with lots of really silly storylines. Maybe we'll get a proper one soon. But put a couple of prop predictions out there. One about Neil. I think Neil has been badly served by the BL board, and they will deserve their comeuppance. So I think he will stand back and watch Hannah file and then go off and join up with Rex to rear pigs in the right way. The other one is Natasha. Yeah. She's looking for an office manager. I wonder if they'll suddenly realise that the new lady, is it Joy or June or whatever her name is,
who's
Tony's admirer, I think she'll employ her as her office manager. It'd probably be very good. Anyway, thank you very much for running a nice programme, and I do like listening to it. Thank you. Bye for now.
You run a nice programme, Lucy.
I like that. We're sophisticated and nice, all in the space of 20 minutes or whatever it's been. Thank you very much, Tony. That is a brilliant shout, that is.
It is. It is. It really
Joy
is.
Joy being an office manager, she would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Joy would drive Tony round the would drive Tom round the bend, which is also, you know, a good reason to do it. Yes, be excellent.
Well done, Mr. Cox. Excellent call. Call in more often, sir. Now, somebody who is going to agree with me. So this is our caller innera of the week.
Hello, you two. It's Paul Room here. I just thought I'd call in to say that I agree with Royfield from last week's episode in that The Archers doesn't really follow real life shock horror, such as the HR storyline and, you know, how often is there a stock take at the ball? Because one thing that sticks in my mind is Elizabeth Pargeter with her ICD, the defibrillator in her chest that she's had since 2011. Because as I phoned in before, I've got one of these as well. Mine was put in 2008. The thing with it is the battery doesn't last forever and the device has to be replaced. It can vary, I think, sort of between 5 and possibly up to 10 years. Probably not quite as long as that. Anyway, so Elizabeth should be having her defibrillator changed around now, but we don't hear this. We don't hear every medical appointment, every birthday or whatever. But this sort of sprung to mind because recently, just before Christmas, I was putting the outside fairy lights on the house, a bit like Philip Moss, and an alarm went off in my chest, which did remind me of the crocodile in Peter Pan. It meant the defibrillator, the lead into my heart had broken. So I had the thing replaced, which is the third one I've had since 2008. And yes, with Elizabeth, nothing. And I suppose I wonder whether there was they consulted with a cardiologist from one of the hospitals in Birmingham at the time it was put in, but whether a note was made, this thing doesn't last forever in her chest and will need to be replaced, which is a not a huge procedure, but relatively major-ish. So, yes, The Archers doesn't reflect real life, as we can see here. Bye now.
Paul, how do you know that it's going off because it's broken and it's not going off because you are having a heart attack? Is it like when a car alarm goes off and everyone goes, oh, for God's sake, it's a dog. A squirrel's jumped on it. It's a cat. When in actual fact, it's somebody breaking into your car. Is it like that? Because how do you know? That's a genuine question. I don't understand. Did you panic when it went off and think, oh my God, what's that? I'm having a heart attack. Or did you know? Ah, yes, is it a different noise for when it's running out of battery?
It must be, because he didn't sound panicked, and he was halfway up a ladder as well. You know, so if he was about to have a heart attack and it was going, heart attack noise, and you're halfway up the upper ladder, you are going to fall off that ladder and, you know, death by fairy lights and stuff. But, I'm presuming it's a different sound. But, Paul, I think what Lucy's saying is, can you call in next week and just clear that up, please?
Yes.
Because if Lucy's worrying about it...
don't begin your call with saying, I agree with Royfield, because that is an absolute surefire way of getting right up my nose before you've even started. So don't do that.
You know what, though? Another listener on this week's episode is going to get right up your nose, Lucy, because I made a lot of sense last week, and people have come out in their droves to say so, just saying. So if you want to upset our listeners, continue with that snotty attitude, Freeman. Now... anything you want to say before I hit my button for another caller in a row?
No, go for it.
Good morning, Lucy, Royfield, and all the other Dumpty Dummers out there in the world. It's Margot from beautiful New Jersey. Just a few things this week. Jill comparing herself to Josh. Jill, there is simply no comparison. I work in the criminal justice field, and the crimes that your grandson has committed could lead to some serious jail time if he were here in the States. Conspiracy to theft, complicity, theft by unlawful taking, and theft of movable goods, just to name a few. Here, I see those charges often and see plenty of people behind bars for about 3 years. Again, there's no comparison for your flapjack throwing. The bee at Ambridge. Can we just be done with the storyline? It will indeed go nowhere, and it will go back to being the bull in no time. Maybe instead they could focus on a small go-nowhere storyline with Kathy Perks and Jamie, or the Tregoran household, two places that have been so completely forgotten, and just leave this one behind. I'm very glad that Neil is finally going to be rid of Hannah Riley in some capacity. Neil is too nice to suffer Hannah, but hopefully he'll be happier in his new outdoor pig unit. And finally, Kate. Although part of me hopes that she's lying about her pregnancy, I fear that it's the truth. Although the dynamic between her and Jakob is interesting, they are the last people I would want to see have a child. Never mind the fact that she has abandoned her three other children with their fathers. Is this also when Kate will abandon spiritual home in search of some other sort of fulfillment and will leave Jakob to deal with the Aldridge clan and this child on his own? I guess only time will tell. You guys have a wonderful week.
You too. Thank you very much. I don't know what it is with Kate. I mean, does she get bored of them? What is it? What makes her just decide?
Kate doesn't have a sense of responsibility the way the most of us do. Here is somebody who is full of their own personal sense of worth and ethical purity that, in effect, she's a steamroller, isn't she? That for her, everything is incredibly black and white. And because she sees her motives as being incredibly pure, she doesn't necessarily understand how anybody can view them in any other way. And that's whether that is to do with her business practices, or also to do with, remember, the way that the reason why the home farm lot had to leave. It was her bloody mindedness and short-sightedness. Yes. You know, so here is somebody who has no real sense of responsibility at all. And that's the reason why Kate can do what she does, really, because she's unmoored in that regard. That's just my take on it.
Now, I mean, I was just thinking how are her other kids going to, if this is real, how would her other children feel that she's sort of, you know... She had them in South Africa. She left there. Well, she had Phoebe here. She left Phoebe to go to South Africa. She went to South Africa. She had children there. She came back here again. You know, it's sort of... it's going to be quite devastating for them, I should think, to sort of... Because whenever that happens, she must think that the new family, you know, oh, this is the one that she's really happy with. So there's a sort of an innate rejection in there somewhere.
But Kate's not thinking like that, though, is she?
No.
You know, that's not... Kate, as I said earlier on, is just in the moment.
She's in the moment. She wants to do this right now. She really quite likes Jakob. Though she speaks to him awfully. Like,
yeah,
she's
I was thinking that.
She's so
And
rude.
I hope you've nearly finished because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
God.
But she's incredibly entitled. You know, that is entitlement dialed up to 50, 100. You know, utterly, utterly rude. Right. And as somebody put, I think it was on the Flick app. Big shout out goes to the Flick app posse, right? So somebody said on the Flick app, she must be great in bed because it makes no sense.
Yeah.
She's incredibly rude. Incredibly rude. Anyway, yeah. Have we heard from Marga before, our caller in from New Jersey?
Yes.
We have. Yes. Okay. I was just checking because I wasn't quite sure. But well done. Keep it up. Call in again from the Garden State next week, please. Now, we're going to go to John, and he's in Sweden.
All right, Dumpty Dum. My name is John. I am from the Isle of Wight. I live in Gothenburg, Sweden. I am a carpenter, so I align myself with young Philip there. My Archer's vintage is... same old story. Grew up listening to it in the background. My mum used to listen to it thinking it was dull and boring. Went to university, listened to Radio 4 constantly, but never really got stuck on the Archers, but I'd listen to it. The first thing I can probably remember, though, is 9.5-ish years ago when my eldest daughter was born. I was at home a lot then and listened to the Archers non-stop. So, yeah, it makes me a Henry. Henry's the same age as my eldest. And I remember, what's his name, falling off the roof. That was it Christmas? Elizabeth's husband. So, yeah, they're the first storylines. But, yeah, it makes me Henry. He's so young, so we shouldn't judge him. He's got time to change. Loving the Archers at the moment. Love the Josh storyline. Roy Field, I don't know if I agree with you that what's his name is dodgy, Phil. I do agree with you, the storyline that I think
out,
he's going
to
go. Yeah, Kirsty saying that she's never been happier. That doesn't sound well, does it? So that's all going to end soon. But yeah, you caught me out this week, Dumpty Dum. You were too early coming out. You came out, I think it was on Tuesday morning, I saw a Dumpty Dum. So in my keenness, I clicked and listened. And then, spoiler alert, everyone told me that Gavard had moved in with Philip and Krusty, and I was like, what, no, come on, slow down, what's going on? And realised I hadn't listened, I wasn't up to date, was I? So yeah, maybe you should include spoiler alerts, people like me.
Yeah, but how do we know? How do we know who hasn't listened to what when? We'll ring you all. There's 45,000 of you. We'll give you all a quick bell and go, right, so where did you listen up to? Do you know that this has happened? No? Okay then.
But you know, like John said, he didn't agree with me that Philip was super evil.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
super evil. That's how you're pitching Philip, is it? Super evil.
No, I'm not. If you remember back to when I come up with my theory that this is all about money, right? I did say maybe he's a dodgy businessman. And then I recanted that in literally the next line of what I said. I said, no, maybe he's not, but there is something about money. Now, what did Gavin say last week? Oh, there was a time when we were super broke. Now, people can disagree with me all they want. This storyline is fundamentally about money. I don't know what the source of the money is. I don't know how much money Philip's got, but it's about money. Just saying. So, I'm right. Every week I'm being proved even more righter than right, Lucy. Just saying. I am!
My God, you're a monster, man. Every week I am being proved righter than right. That's... If Trump tweeted that, no one would bat an eyelid. They'd just think, oh, God, he's been on the cough medicine again.
Right, here is yet another caller in a row that fundamentally is going to agree with me. And talking about Trump, she's from the land of Trump. It's our Susan. She's from Houston.
Yeah,
Hello, Lucy and Royfield. This is Susan, your HR correspondent from Houston, Texas. Basically, I heard you asking for HR feedback on what was going on at the Barrows Pig Farm last week. What you got from your other correspondents in the UK was pretty much spot on for UK policy. But what you may not understand is that the US is completely crazy on the same issues. Effectively, there's no such thing as constructive dismissal, at least not in most states. Particularly in Texas, wow. It's at will employment and it's by the employer. So you can let Neil go for not tying his shoelaces and have no claim against you for him. Many places do have additional employment laws, some severance provisions that the companies abide because we'd prefer to be more ethical than that, but it's not required and it's not necessary. And most of my UK colleagues think that the US is absolutely daft on this perspective. Can kind of see it both ways, but then again, I'm in HR and that's what I'm meant to do. Lucy, it really is not that interesting. It really is kind of dreadful. But on another note, I wanted to thank Lucy for sharing the names of her pets because I've had two cats that were brother and sister. Maybe too much. But one was Basil Michael and his sister was Coriander Sybil. So we've both had two pets that have the Basil Sybil Fawlty Towers reference, which just absolutely endeared me to you. I can't think of any place else to go now besides to say that Gavin is a complete waste of space. I appreciate you using the word crusty instead of Christy every time because I can't stand her. And have a lovely time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Susan.
Oh, her pets have got posher names than mine.
They were great names. They were great names.
They were.
Mm.
My other half works for various American companies, and they say to him, you know, how do you guys ever get anything, any work done? How do you make any money? How do you get any work done in Europe? Because everyone has 752 days holiday a year. You can go off sick for anything and get paid. You can, all your employees can sue you for everything all the time. They just think that the European standards in HR are just absolutely bonkersly, unworkable.
So they say that without looking at the evidence, and German workers are more productive than American. With all the time off that German workers get, and Swedish workers, and Dutch workers, and even French workers, they're still more productive than the average American worker. And they cost more per unit. So stick that up your ass, American employers, because it's just... why?
Please, I'm just confirmed this is the voice of Royfield Brown that said that, just in case.
But it
ever
really
fancies getting any sort of paid employment in the United States.
Well, no. I can't with my visa.
No.
So I can't. So I can say
you're
this.
You're an alien with a wibbly head and many, many arms.
But anyway, moving swiftly on, because we're not doing Mid-Atlantic right now. We're doing Dum-de-Dum. No. I will, Susan from Houston, thank you for going through all of the gears. It's lovely to hear from you. Now, Lucy, we have a caller innerer who is a golden oldie, a bit like Paul Room, is our Jacqueline Berto, who actually, before I pressed the button and she to start her, I think she was our first international caller, as I seem to remember.
Yes, I think she was.
Yeah.
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 Hi, Jacqueline Berto from Saint Gwen here. I'm a caller innerer from the old days. I'm also an English expat, but I'm not going to talk about Brexit because, like Roy Field said last week, I believe it, for our sanity, we Remainers need to move on.
Yes, we do.
Which I am, by standing in the local elections next month here in France. I wanted to follow up on a discussion started by Master Miles, I think, about the Ambridge gay community. Well, I live in a rural village of just about 400 people, and the only knowingly gay couple here in the village are a couple of Brits from Wolverhampton who have a holiday home here. Although I do know quite a lot of single people in their 60s, 60 plus, who perhaps would have, in a different time, in a different place, have come out. But it's still very difficult, and we're literally only 180 miles from the south coast of England, but in a rural community. And I probably in Britain it would be. I don't know, and I've never heard, and I meet a lot of people. I'm doing knocking door-to-door campaign at the moment. You don't meet people who are openly bigoted and against a gay community. But something that isn't talked about, and maybe young people wouldn't be able to come out as they would do in a more cosmopolitan place. Anyway, I still love Ambridge. I still absolutely love Dum-de-Dum. I love the Dum-de-Dum, the Archers thing you did on Things That Made England, Roy Field. I agree with much of what you say.
Thank you.
I also agree with lots of what Lucy says, just for parity there. Yeah. Cheers, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye, Jacqueline.
See, people are now having to say that they like that they agree or disagree with me in the interest of balance to stop you having a tantrum. Have you noticed? Yes. God.
That's hardly the way I would see it. But it's really heartwarming to know that people actually do listen to sense, and that we had, four callers saying, yeah, actually, I agree with Roy Field. He made some really excellent points. So you come out with the gags, Lucy. You do the gags, right? And I just make sense. Yeah, that's the way that this thing fundamentally works, if it works at all, I suppose. So there you go. Well done, Jacqueline. Our first international Dum-de-Dummer. Back on the caller in a reaction. Right, so what else did Jacqueline say other than the fact that she agreed with me?
Well, that it was quite difficult to come out in rural areas, and that it would be a big deal.
Yeah, Philip Schofield. Do you think Philip Schofield is a Dum-de-Dummer, and that's what prompted him? Because, you know, Yokel Bear talked about coming out. When this broke, okay, for our international listeners that aren't attuned to UK media, Philip Schofield is a well-beloved TV presenter who's been on our TV screen since the mid-80s. He started off on BBC Kids TV, anything called The Broom Cupboard, where he would link from programme to programme, and is migrated onto grown-up proper TV. He's, 57... And his TV persona is, he's just nice. Everybody likes Philip Schofield. Isn't he from New Zealand or something originally? He's Antipodean, isn't he? But the thing is, for me, when this news broke that he was gay, I thought, well, of course he's gay.
I know.
No, I was like,
you mean he isn't?
I was surprised when I heard that he had a wife and two daughters. I genuinely was. I thought, I always thought from the 80s he was gay, and I don't have a particularly attuned gaydar, so I'm not saying that I can sniff these things out at all, but I was like, well, of course he's gay, it's Philip Schofield. But any other news that happened in the UK last week which we can shoehorn into Dum-de-Dum or the Archers, Lucy? Can you think of anything?
No.
Right. After that well-considered pondering of yours, have you got any emails there, Lucy?
Yes.
Now,
many,
can I just say before... Exactly.
Yes.
You were going to spread them out throughout the show. Remember? Last week...
Yes. There's a voicemail message too. Who is that? Oh, was that Rosie?
Yeah. Don't worry about that. We've done Rosie.
All right.
All right.
Stop trying to pretend to be all efficient and everything.
In control just for once. Did you notice that I actually said before I hit the caller in era that basically where they were from and kind of the content they were going to talk about, that's how organised and on it I was this week.
Yeah.
Got
well
done, you. Extra specially early, clipped all the calls, edited out the ums and the ahs on them for them, and listened to them properly, took notes, and I've deployed them in this episode of Dum-de-Dum. Now, I think you should now do some work, Lucy, and read out the emails.
Right.
Chop.
Marion, who says that she is a second-time emailer in a row. She's in the Midwest somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
She said Is Ambridge in a different dimension where Brexit is not a thing? Surely the farm will be affected at some point when EU subventions disappear. Who will pick up home farm soft fruits? Wasn't it hard enough for Adam to have enough labour last summer? And won't the chicken factory be affected if the market is funded by American chicken? Why don't the Bull show things like the Six Nation tournaments? I think they do. I remember them showing the football. They showed the World Cup. Yes, yeah, she mentions that. So why aren't they using it to show the rugby? Especially as the entire village now appears to be Welsh. Surely they would quite enjoy the rugby.
Just very quickly, when Rob was there, he did watch the rugby at the Bull.
Right. But if they're trying to get people in, why wouldn't they do it now? If they're desperate now, because he bought that massive plasma screen, didn't he?
He did. I suppose most of the Six Nation games are on a Saturday, and it's the one day that we don't visit Ambridge. So
yeah,
there is that.
Oh yes.
But just as a slight point, Rob did watch the Six Nations at the Bull.
Right. Was Gavin really engaged to Kelly? He came by himself at Christmas to make the announcement and milk his dad. I would have expected the bride to be at least. He said that she was seeing her parents, didn't she? And what was that revelation of Gavin to Kirsty about Philip having lost a lot of money in the past? And we thought that Lily and Russ's relationship will move on one way or another when it was mentioned how long it would take him to divorce his wife. And then nothing. And also Jill cracked me up when she had a chat with Josh about his criminal family. Your dad's been to court, I was arrested for throwing flapjacks, but no mention of his cousin who went to prison last year. Yes, good point. Yes, these are all very, very good things, Marion. Good noticings, good observations. Oh dear, this is cheery. This is from John Walsh. And it's headed, depressingly, The Death of Jim. One reason why I'm concerned about the sexual abuse storylines in ongoing docudramas is that the effects never really go away. We can meet a character years later and the impact is still likely to be there, and that makes it difficult to deal with characters who appear intermittently. How would new or infrequent listeners be introduced to Kathy, for example? As a result, I wonder whether Jim is going to escape from this in the way my grandfather, on his father's side, did. He worked, he retired, he settled his affairs, and then he died. Might Jim follow now his abuser is dead and his daughter is settled, more or less? Perhaps he would wait for his son to find someone before shuffling off the mortal coil. But how horrible would it be if he got old and suffered Alzheimer's or something similar? On that cheerful note, John, formerly John III, from Ladprow. That is deeply depressing, John. But I know what you mean. People say, don't they, that they make a decision. People make a decision. They get everything ready and they say, right, okay, I can die now because they've done a certain thing that they wanted to do. But I think Jim, at the moment, is such a popular character and the storyline has interested a lot of people and he plays such a pivotal role in between Alistair and Jazza. I can't really see them getting rid of him. Certainly not in the immediate term anyway.
And an integral part of this storyline is Jim coming to terms with it, so you need him to be around for that, however he's going to do that. And but you know that is an integral part of the storyline. It's not that this just happened and then Jim admitted it. We have to then see that Jim is has been able to reconstruct his relationship with his children as he has done, but then also to live with what's happened with him and to say that it doesn't actually need to define him going forward. That's an important part of the whole storyline. So we do need him to be around.
Mark from Belfast is next. He wants to talk about coming out and being gay in Ambridge. Noticing just how similar Fiona's coming out was to Anna Tregoran's, I did wonder if perhaps we are getting the lesbian character storyline that writers had originally planned for Anna, but for whatever reason weren't actually able to pursue. I also wanted to question why it seems to be that every gay character who shows up in The Archers is older, has previously come to terms with their sexuality, and is usually already in a relationship. I think it would be interesting for the writers to portray one of the younger established characters realising that they're gay, exploring their sexuality, and over the long term highlight the specific issues facing gay people in a rural setting. Yes, I agree. Everybody comes sort of ready packaged and happy with their gay identity, don't they? Adam did, Sean from the Thing and Thing did, the pub, Ian Craig did. There's a few, you know, issues like with Ian's father and everything, but you know, they themselves, it's the revelation is all to other people. There's no revelation to themselves. And that would be, I agree completely, that would be really interesting. And obviously we've got a lot of younger characters coming up, so maybe that's what's in line for one of them.
And I think, just to go back to the whole kind of Philip Schofield thing, if, with an older character, if they haven't come out when they were younger, there's a passage of time where they're wrestling with their conscience, wrestling with the fact that they're not being true to their sexuality, and then worrying about how other people are going to react to that. And I think the emailer is spot on. It's all been a little bit too neat. And to have these older women who aren't integral to the village just to, in effect, wander in for whatever reason, be here for a week or two, declare their sexuality, and then to wander off. We are being shortchanged in terms of character development, understanding the pain, the angst, whatever. Then also how people then react around them, as opposed to, you know, one parent. Mm. You know, if Will Grundy was to come out as gay in 3 years' time, wouldn't that be a fantastic storyline? If it was written well.
Yeah.
You know, you just imagine that as a bombshell. No, but imagine that as a bombshell.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, he's and he turns around to Adam and Ian and just and talks to them in a heartfelt way, and that's kind of the point I was trying to make last week about, and I did it from a different perspective, about like racism and homophobia. Let's have some kind of ordinary characters who we actually like to have some of the views which are still prevalent in society. But then also let's have the characters living this stuff and going through it. And I couldn't agree more with you, emailer Inara, that it's too neat. And it's exactly the same storyline that we had with Carlotta of Gorran's daughter. It's exactly the same storyline, you know. And we do deserve better. We do deserve better.
Yeah.
And just to reinforce what I was saying last week, regardless of who the characters are in The Archers, they're all liberal. Even if they are conservative, i.e., you know, like Susan Carter is a Daily Mail conservative reader. You've got Brian Aldridge, who is, you know, very much a noblesse noblige conservative. You've got Will Grundy,
Daily Telegraph and The Spectator.
Yeah. Then you've got Will Grundy, who is a working class conservative, etc. But they're all social liberals, you know, and that's not life. Not everybody is a social liberal. Who's totally understanding of difference and is very permissive.
Yeah.
Just isn't. And we're missing a whole rich vein of social observation by not having some slightly more diverse, and I don't mean that in the classic modern sense, but diverse ethically characters.
Attitudes.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway.
Yeah. Back to a slight, somewhat baser note now from Paul Robinson, not from Neighbours, who says, when is somebody going to tell Susan to wind her fucking neck in and mind her own business? I would have done it years ago. It has got to the point where it winds me up every time I hear her giving the third degree. Paul from Guildford. Well, Susan and the shop is the big... It's like the Roman Forum. It's where everyone goes to share news, isn't it? People who have news to share suddenly find themselves unaccountably out of biscuits or milk or something, and they have to it's like they have to go, and they go, oh, I don't want to go to the shop, and you think, don't go then, go somewhere else, drive to Sainsbury's, it's fine, no one's gonna care in Sainsbury's. No, well, I suppose I better go to the shop. It's like, this is my duty, I have to run the gamut of the shop. Because otherwise, how is this news going to get out? Otherwise, it's got to go somewhere. So off they all troop to the shop, clutching their, you know, outrageous amount of money she charges for things. That's half a pint of milk. That'll be £7.95, please. What? Yes. But yeah, they have to do it.
You are right, you know, Lucy, because there is the petrol station on the bypass. They do have another option.
Yeah, they have hundreds, but no, it's like, oh, it's like Joe, it's like Josh was saying, oh, I've got to go and I haven't been to the shop. I can't bear going. I've got a face going to the shop. You think, no, you haven't. You really haven't. Don't go. Go somewhere else.
Is that right? Any more emails?
That's it. All right, cool. No, that's your lot.
All right. Hopefully, listener, you'll hear an email. Hopefully, listener, you'll hear an advert. If not, it's Millie Bell and a social media roundup.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
G'day, everyone. Well, unsurprisingly, there has been a lot of attention on Jakob and Kate this week. And I asked who has met their match. Is Jakob going to be dominated by Kate? Or is Kate going to be dominated by Jakob? Or are they going to come to some kind of compromise? Stephen Bowden said, I don't know why I don't find Kate incredibly annoying. It's probably because A, she's so over the top that she's very funny. And B, I don't actually have to deal with her in real life. So I hope that she and Jakob continue to clash with each other in a sort of village Beatrice and Benedict way for years to come. Tracy Benton disagrees and says Kate is rapidly turning into the most annoying person in town, giving Susan a run for her money. Joanne Smith said, I want to see Jakob tell her what a piece of work she is and dump her. But I fear this will turn into a tale of how the love of a good man will turn Kate into a sweet, loving, empathetic woman. I'd be fine with her getting dumped and then actually doing some real self-reflection and growing from the experience. But the thought of listening to Jakob turning her into someone nice just makes me queasy. Thank you very much for that, Joanne. And Kate Lars says, oh, FFS, she's bloody 40 years old. Is there something in the water in Ambridge that halts human development at the age of about 17? But my favourite response was from Elizabeth McCracken, who said, my 8-year-old son was in the room at the end of that episode, and on his way out of the door, he said, that man does not want that woman in his house. Out of the mouths of babes. So yes, lots and lots of discussion. Of course, we will come back to that shortly. Because we also discussed whether this was going to be the start of something new for the bull. And we also wondered whether this new assertive Rex, is he also the start of something new? And Melissa Williams said, new marketing campaign for B at A. I've missed this. You can't beat a Shires. Oh, nice. Melissa Williams said, I adore Jill's put your big girl pants on speech and get your ass to the pub. It was awesome. I'm on Team Jill. I think we're all on Team Jill, Melissa. And Brian Holding said, I really don't understand the rebranding of the Bull. It seems that the change of name and offering a few cocktails that Kenton would do anyway, given half a chance, is by way of being the whole thing. If this Angus chap is a professional, he would have prepared a full plan saying what market he hopes to attract, including the demographics, what's going to appeal to them, and a marketing strategy to attract them. Just changing the name while offering the same diet of Wayne's sandwiches, pub quizzes, and Jolene's croaky country and western numbers only antagonizes the existing customer base without attracting any new ones. There's more from Brian if you would like to go to our Facebook page, but I thought he made some very, very good points there. Just while I'm going through this week on our Facebook page, just to let you know that a lot of people published articles, which was absolutely fantastic to see. Unfortunately, as I think I've said to you before, well, it's not that unfortunate, but we have to actually post them. So it can sometimes take a little while. They won't go on immediately. It depends whether it is Yokel Bear who's awake or whether it's me who's awake, but we will get to them and do our best, I promised. And I just wanted to finish with that wonderful sentence at the end when... at the end of the last episode, and I asked the question, is Jakob going to be delighted? And I think delighted could be an emotion, and he doesn't seem to have many of those, so my guess is he's not. But this is what others had to say. Dorothy Brown said, well, he's going to be surprised, definitely. Barb Danielson said, he's going to do a runner, but I suspect Kate will eventually find out she's menopausal. Ruth Pearl said, you never know, he may surprise us. Then Kate finds out she's menopausal. Why is everyone thinking she's menopausal? Can I just say publicly that I was actually older than Kate when I had my last baby. So, you know, she doesn't have to be menopausal. It could be her last hurrah. Tara Math said, I would never have used the words Jakob and delighted in the same sentence. Martin van den Heuvel said, Jakob, listen, Kate, the baby can't be mine. I had a vasectomy years ago, didn't I tell you? And Richard Woodfield said, on Monday, Jakob finds out from Susan Carter that he's pregnant. Oh, gosh, you were all so funny this week. It was another great week. Please go on and have a look at our published pieces from our listeners. And you can also speak to me and Yokel Bear on there. You can also get involved in Witherspoon's talk of the weekend. And, of course, we post up Lucy's Week in Ambridge if you miss it anywhere else. So really encourage you to get involved. It was another great week in Ambridge and on our Facebook page. Now, I haven't had much time to get onto our app, so I apologise for that, but I will try and do that for next time if Yokel Bear hasn't already done it. So keep talking with each other, keep being hilarious, and I will speak to you in a fortnight. Until then, hooroo!
Thank you for that, Millie Bell.
And, thank you.
Also, you know, very honest, very honest. And let's see exactly how this storyline plays out. Issue properly up, Duff. Or is her eggs just not ripe anymore? She early menopause. We'll soon find out. Lucy,
yep.
Why don't you hit us with an headline or two?
Okay. Gary Gilday, this is, in a plea to Kerry Davis, he's actually added Kerry Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Please can we have no more baby storylines in the Archers for at least 3 years? Kind regards, the whole fucking planet. The only way is up had the chat between Josh and Rex in the pub. So you're saying you don't want to work for me, for you, with you, in the same county as you? Stunned silence. Could I put you down as a maybe? Linda, top of the hill, says, does Kate realise that she wastes oxygen every time she speaks? Think of the planet, Kate! Paul Smith said, I do like Phil and Kirsty. They're very good together, especially on location, location, location. And Nozilla, who is rapidly becoming one of the world's greatest the Archers tweeters, said, Alice has a day off. When does she have a day on?
Is that
That's it?
Oh, you didn't say tweet of the week.
Oh, sorry. And I said she was the world's greatest Archers tweeter.
But that's not at all the same as saying it's tweet of the week. It's not, Lucy. Because if you had actually said that, I could have done this.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, absolutely nothing.
But you didn't let me do that.
No, I'm sorry. But
anyway, I'm going to stop that. Have you had a headline?
No, I've just realised I haven't got one this week.
I asked you for a headline, but I can't find
it.
And you did Tweets of the Week instead.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So you don't have one? Well, don't make one up. If you don't have one, you don't have one.
No, I'm not making it up. I never make it up.
Oh, wouldn't that be such a scandal if people discovered you actually were just making them up?
No, because they go and search it. They search it. Mm.
Anyway, there's a pause in proceedings and we can't have that. So I'll just like chunter on, shall I?
Do you want the mirror headline now?
Oh, I like this episode. It's all over the place. Right, yeah.
It is.
Let's have the mirror headline.
All over the place like a mad woman's shit, as I want somebody to say. Deeply disturbing phrase. Anyway, Disney characters brawl as Minnie punches guard before Mickey and Goofy break up fight.
Where did this happen?
And there's a picture.
Disney World.
And they are all in costume. Let me look up where it happened. I don't think it's Disneyland. I don't think they're loud there. Oh, the bizarre scene unfolded on the Vegas Strip and was later posted to social media where it received 3.6 million views on Twitter.
Wow.
It's unclear why Disney's character-filled fight broke out with a female security guard, but the situation appears to escalate quickly. In the clip, the security guard approaches Minnie Mouse and the pair begin to trade blows. Mickey and Goofy attempt to break the fight up. During the heat of the fight, Minnie appears to punch Mickey while he tries to stand in the middle of the two women. Oh, dear. The woman takes off her mouse costume feet before storming away. Can you imagine? Hang on a minute. Just got to take off your mouse shoes before you can successfully strop off. Oh, dear. Mm. A passerby commented, "I always knew Minnie was not the one to mess with."
Oh, you don't normally give us a full commentary on the whole story, but that was worth it for that last line. Freeman.
She wanted to know, you wanted to know where it all happened, and then I got accidentally drawn into the story, which I try not to do because they're so mental. It's just like a new and horrible world that I don't want to get involved with.
You've given me a new little saying all over the place. One of the shits. Oh, God. Oh, folks, dumdydum.com, you can go there and do some stuff. Also, you can type in dumdydum or Lucy's Week in Ambridge and on the YouTubes, and you can go sign up to our brand new sparkling channel of dumdydum content and Archers-related content. So you type in my name, Roy Field, or Lucy's Week in Ambridge, and that'll take you there. We have a new little strand, Lucy, which premiered, according to YouTube, yesterday. Would you like to hear about it?
Is it the quiz where we ask people a question and then the winner gets...
No. Then, that was your thing, no. Which you said to me off mic at the start of the show, which I'm going to leave you to fully explain.
I haven't thought it through, Roy.
I'll talk now for a couple of minutes, as is my way, and you can just collect your thoughts, because I think this is the time to tell people to get onto YouTube to subscribe, because we now have a new strand as well as Lucy's Week in Ambridge. We have My First Day on Set, and on the very first episode of My First Day on Set, it's an interview with our Susie Rids, who plays Tracy Horobin, about her very first day. And of course, she's an unusual character in that technically she's had two first days, because she used to be Kate Aldridge when she was a teenager. So So here is another reason for you to go onto the YouTubes and to subscribe to our channel, so you can see the actors who play the characters on The Archers in the flesh, so to speak, and them talking about going to the mailbox or BBC Pebble Mill for the first time. And we have Tim Bentinck, who plays David Archer. He's coming up soon. And many more actors besides will be on DumDeeDum TV. And to find that, you go onto YouTube and you type in either DumDeeDum, or you can do Royfield, because the channel's actually my channel, or Lucy's Week in Ambridge, and you can see our Lucy and her penguins in all their glory talking about the goings-on in deepest, darkest Borsetshire. Now, you had a great idea before we hit record this morning, yes. Lucy. Tell us what that great
what
idea was.
What we're going to do mm-hmm. is every week on the monologue on YouTube, I will ask a quiz question, and if you get it right, if lots of you get it right, then we will pick an answer at random. If obviously if only you gets it right, then you get the prize. And the prize will be a Dumpty Dum t-shirt. Will it, Royfield?
Well, you've said it now. Can't go back on that, folks.
I think that's what editing is. I think. You're the expert.
I thought this was going out live.
Is it not? Shit. I'd never have used all those rude words had I known. Is that all right then? Should we do that?
We'll do that. We'll do that. You can choose from a t-shirt or a mug.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. T-shirt or mug, yeah.
Or a mug.
Yeah.
Right, so Patreon, folks.
No. But you have to answer the quiz. When I ask the question, you have to answer it in the comments bit on YouTube.
Oh, genius.
Yes, that's how you answer.
Genius, right.
Oh, no, hang on. That's not going to work, is it?
No,
because then
is.
Everyone's going to see the answer.
That's a good point, Lucy.
I think we need to chop this whole bollocks,
no,
bollocks, bum,
no,
poo.
No, no,
chop
no,
it all
no,
out,
no, no, no. We can work this out.
And then we'll have to rethink
work
it.
This out. Quite simply, all you do is you go on, then go on to DumDeeDum, no, you didn't have to go on to DumDeeDum. You can contact me through the website, through YouTube. Yeah.
But the idea is we wanted people to comment, didn't we?
God.
Because they said the more comments that we get, then the higher up the alga thing it goes or something.
The alga thing. Yeah.
See, we have to chop all this bit out and I'll think about it properly.
Yeah. All right. You have a think.
Chop, chop, choppity chop.
Right. Cool. All right. Smashing. So where were we?
No idea. We were saying goodbye, weren't we?
Okay, dumdedum.com. Then I went on to YouTube. There is a great way, good listener, that you can also support Lucy and I's effort to provide you with expert Archers commentary every week. That's by going on to patreon.com.
And rude words that you may not have heard before.
What, the Archers? Is that the word they've never heard before? By going on to patreon.com. And if you give us $2 per show, it means that when we have extra content, which invariably is an interview with an actor, that you get that not only first, but you only get that. The hoi polloi, the riff-raff, you know, the common old garden listeners, the people that can't be fussed after 5 years to give us their shilling, they just get the podcast, but you get the real good stuff. So when you go onto patreon.com and pony up some moolah, and when we interview an actor like Susie or Tim, etc., etc., you get that. And it's all just for you. The good stuff. If you remember last week, we started reading out all the wonderful patrons, the people that help keep the lights on in DumDeeDum Towers. And the list was so long, we decided to split it into two. So here is part deux of that self-same list of patrons. After you, Lucy.
Maddie K. Up, Magic at Mungo's, Marion Janin, Mark Everton, Martine, Mary Argent, Kat Waller, Matthew Warren, Morris Nell, Melanie Matthews, Mary Gillespie, Michelle Van Grove, Mick Tozer, Mindy Collins, Miss Purple Pumpkin, Morgan Johnson, Nancy Dickey, Neil Gagan, Nicola Maxfield, Norma Driscoll, Pak Chow, Pamela Stanworth, Patricia Hanavan, Paul Schloiser, Paul Wiskin, Pippa Tozer, Rachel Kennedy, Rachel Thomas, Rebecca McFarlane, Rebecca Mullard, Richard Latter, Robin Jones, Rose Callock, Rosie Table, Rosie Porty, Sally D, Sally Wood, Samantha Jane Edwards, Sarah Evans, Sarah Amanda Hyde, Sarah Bailey, Sarah Harding, Scott Matthewman, Sheila Maguire, Silver Girl, Simon Pilgrim, Siobhan Wild, Sonia Gargas, Sophie England, Stephanie Evans, Stephen Bowden, Steve McGowan, Sue Yin Jordan, Sue Lee, Susan Gofstein, Susan Mary Young, Susie Sullivan, Thesis Whisperer, Tony de Jong, Trish Houghton Duber, Vicky Cole, and Yvonne McKenzie.
We thank you all. We thank you all. Take a bow. Thank you. Now, Twitter. Oh, I'm going to stop talking. Why don't you do some talking and read out some on that script?
Remember, to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105 to leave us a message.
You can find YokelBit at DumDeeDum on the Twitters. Lucy is at...
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I, of course, can be found at Royfield. And then, of course, there is Facebook. And there's loads of things happening on Facebook at the moment, like Facebook-type dum-de-dum stuff. Go onto Facebook, type in dum-de-dum, and Millie Bell and Yokel Bear and Witherspoon will hold your hand through that whole process. And, of course, I always try and get this in on every show, but proper big up to the Flick app posse. If you find yourself thumbing needlessly on your phone and just wanting more Archers and Dum-De-Dum content, what you can do is download the Flick app, and there is a link to it in the show notes. And there is a message board, a whole community of listeners that share life, love and the universe as it pertains to Ambridge with each other on that self same forum. So it's the Flick app. And big ups to everybody that's on there. And I'm still, Lucy, I'm in love with Where in the World, a lovely little thread on the Dum-De-Dum Flick app where people just take a picture of where they are. And it could be looking out their window at work or so, a glorious sunset or whatever. And then a thread, which is on fire at the moment, is Kate. She needs her own thread. So people are talking about Kate Aldridge. It's all lots of... Kate Madicani, very sorry. So go on to the Flick app, join in with 502 others and chat away about all things Borsetshire there. All right, Luce. So I feel this was a slightly one of those loosey-goosey episodes. We weren't our normal type precise self. So at least I wasn't anyway. I had a proper brain fart at the start. And I slowly got into my stride. But how would you rate this episode out of 10, considering we've done 315 of them now?
Well, that means so far we've been described as nice, sophisticated and loosey-goosey. Which is...
Well, the episode was more loosey-goosey than us, to be fair. I was on about, you know...
We are the episode, though, aren't we, really? We can't really blame anyone else.
No,
much as we'd like to, obviously.
No, but the Archers and the quality of the Archers is a significant part of the episode. Because if it's a dreadful, dreadful week, right,
yeah,
that's going to be reflected in our analysis and our content.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Mm. So I put it to you again, Mrs. How would you rate this episode out of 10?
I think this was a 7.
Really? That high? You're generous. Seriously. I thought the Callerinneras were a solid 8.5. Solid.
Yeah, I was going to say, they lifted the average considerably.
Yeah. But like, if I'm thinking of me and my contributions, I'm putting myself at a generous 4. Generous 4. And what would you give yourself?
Oh, God. The same.
No. You actually put some jokes in the monologue this week. I was properly laughing. Last week, did you have a line that moves like Jazza?
No.
Oh, okay. I saw that in the comments on YouTube, and I thought, that's an awesome gag. I don't remember us saying that. But maybe you want to just
and
throw it in a few weeks when everybody's forgotten that it was a comment.
I'll go read the comments and see what I'm going on it now. I'm seeing what I can nick.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome. Right,
whoop,
so...
There you go.
Right, so I think that's just about that then, isn't it? Oh, now's your time to sign off with a flourish, if you've got it within you.
I haven't really. but thank you very much for all the nice comments on the YouTube thing. Including the sarcastic one from my son, and feels like I see this woman every day, he said. The lack of dust on the ornaments in the background is not down to me, Helen Grady, and I will give you the story of the penguins the next time I do it. And that's not my office, that's my sitting room, by the way, so that's why there is a fireplace in it, because I would not be allowed a fireplace in my office in case I burnt it down.
There you go, folks. You heard it here first. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.